Hey guys, welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. We are in May, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Now, I'm going to take a little break this podcast from interviewing athletes or, you know, other successful people and just really reflect on the importance of mental health and just being sane during this very difficult time. You know, they say that, you know, you should pick up a hobby or figure something new about yourself that you would have never known during this time. You have so much time. Why don't you clean your house? Why don't you do extra chores? Paint your walls? This is really not the time where we have to be worried about picking up a new side hustle. If that's what you choose to do, maybe that's something that helps you cope during this time. That's great. But don't feel the pressure that you have to do something new. You have to find, you know, a new hustle or a new activity that complements your life. This is a pandemic, and the most important thing we can do is be aware of our mental health, because that is really the most important thing to do. So before I dive into some of the responses I've gotten from others about some of the mental health issues they deal with in sports, I'm going to talk about myself, because why would you guys trust me if you don't hear my story? So here it is. So this is a story I haven't told anyone about, except for the few really close people in my life: my parents, my tennis coaches, my mental health trainer. And that's pretty much it. And so not a lot of people know about my story and where I've gotten. And I feel like in order to help you guys through my podcast, I need to be able to share what I've been through. And all advice that I'll be giving is obviously not professional. It's just advice that I'd be giving through my own experience and insight of being on the tour, competing around the world. So I'm going to take us back to high school. The recruiting process obviously is a very difficult time. You know, you're judged. You feel like you're judged, at least. Every little bit of your game is criticized. You have an 8 a.m. match, and all these coaches line up at your court in very early in the morning, and they want to watch you perform, watch you play. Now, a lot of times these coaches have already seen you play, they're already interested in you, they've had conversations with you, but you know deep down that your performance is a big deal. It's the difference between getting an offer and not getting an offer. Now, these times, these were usually during Super Nationals, hard court specifically. That was usually for 18s in San Diego. And I specifically remember at the Barnes Tennis Center, man, oh my goodness, or clay courts, which was in Tennessee. The coaches would line up at your court. So I would have Northwestern, Georgia, Virginia, of course, USC, Miami. Just picture this. You're playing a match, a singles match. It's already difficult because it's an individual sport. You're out there by yourself. And then you have a bunch of different coaches just watching every move you make. And usually I like to think that people aren't judging you, but you know that these coaches are just watching your every move. And at this time, I was only 17 years old. I didn't know how important it was to realize that people aren't judging you and stuff like that. But that's a different story. So I would deal with a lot of anxiety and stress knowing that there'd be like 10, 15 coaches lined up at my court. I would not sleep the night before. I'd be so worried that I would mess up, that I would ruin my chances. These coaches liked my results on paper, but I didn't know if they would like the way I played. I knew that deep down I was a great fighter, but for some reason I thought about all the negative things I do instead of the positive things I do. And if I can go back in time and remind myself that I have so many positives in my game, man, would I be a different athlete. There are so many different things that cause anxiety during the recruitment process. You could be thinking that the coach is looking at your body wondering, oh, she has a little fat there, or just body image in general. Why are her legs not as strong as the others? Like, that's obviously not my problem. If anyone's seen me, I have tree trunks as legs from muscle. And so they could be judging your body, saying, oh, she needs to get whipped up into shape. They could be comparing you to other people, saying, you know, we really like you, but we have this other girl that we're a little more interested in. So that automatically makes you compare yourself to others, which is horrifying. Let me tell you, the worst thing in this world is jealousy and comparison. That, for me at least, brings the most anxiety. And to hear coaches saying that, oh, this girl's ahead of you. Like, I had one coach tell me, you're fifth on the list. And she told me the four girls ahead of me. Oh, let me tell you, that is not healthy. That is not healthy. You know, another thing they look at is how you treat the umpires, your opponents, your sportsmanship. So not only your physical moves, but kind of how you treat others, your attitude, your behavior, because they don't want some sort of psycho representing the school, someone that's going to start fights, someone that's going to make bad line calls, someone that's going to be disrespectful. So these are all different things. Now, that part was easier for me because I was more concerned about putting on a good show than, I don't know, than actually winning the match. Of course, I want to win the match. And for a lot of coaches, winning is super important. But I just wanted to, I'm a people pleaser. I hate to say it. I'm really scared and anxious about letting people down and stuff like that. So for me, it was really important to please and impress the coaches. So let me paint you a picture here. Whenever your match was, you'd have a bunch of coaches lined up watching you compete. Now, I had a thing where I was really anxious about some of the weaker parts of my game. Now, when I say weaker parts of my game, it didn't actually mean it was weaker, just the parts of my game that broke down during pressure. And that was my serve. I felt so strong about my forehand, my backhand, my volleys, but it was something about serving that was very anxiety provoking for me. Now, I've heard from so many girls looking back now, to this day, other people have said how their serve broke down under pressure. And I remember the recruiting process being one of the most pressure moments in my tennis career. You wanted to take your tennis to the next level, to the collegiate level, where, you know, you'd be part of a team, and if you're a girl, you're most likely getting a full scholarship. So this was really important. You know, my parents had been spending tons of money on my travel, my tennis lessons, my equipment, all growing up, and I wanted this to be me supporting my own tennis, my career, my education. So this was really important to show the best side of myself. With that being said, anxiety manifests itself in many different ways. For some people, they get shaky. Some people get nervous. Some people get angry. Some people can't sleep at night. Some people, you know, it just, everyone is affected differently. For me, it was I couldn't sleep at night before my matches. I would be so worried. I would constantly try to ask my mom, dad. I even had a hard time opening up about it with my coaches because I was just so ashamed and scared of it. But I would just be like, do you think I served well today? Do you think I have a good serve? And I would constantly seek affirmation that I have a good serve. And they would say, you have a great serve. You're doing great, blah, blah, blah. And then I would try to visualize my matches while I was trying to fall asleep. And everything would feel pretty good. And I have to say that visualizing things going well was a really big help. Trying to picture, you know, every little detail, whether it's the smell of the ball, the way it feels, the way you hear it, you use all five senses trying to visualize kind of the motions of the match and all that stuff. That felt good. And that was kind of the way I relaxed myself to fall asleep. You know, think about it. If it weren't for that, it'd be very hard to go to sleep. I was so nervous. I wanted to put on a good show for these coaches, yet I had this huge insecurity in my game. And here I was. I was number 4 on tennis recruiting in my class. So I already had, you know, a huge target on me. You know, all my opponents I was playing wanted to beat me. The coaches were looking to see a really fierce and strong athlete out there, not someone that lacked a huge part of her game. And remember, I didn't actually lack it. It was an anxiety in my head. So, you know, here we go. I go on the court. I'm shaking. I'm nervous. I want to put on the best Julia possible. And it was hard. I really struggled. I'll never forget this one match where it was double fault central. When I say that, I mean we're talking 3-4 double faults a game. One time I even double faulted the whole game away. Like, and it wasn't just serves that were missing the box. Sometimes we'd go into the fence. Sometimes we'd go to the bottom of the net. Sometimes it wouldn't even make the net. Sometimes it went on to court 13 when I was on court 2. Like, we're just talking just crazy anxiety. And that's what happens with the serve when you get stiff, you get shaky, your mind isn't in the right place. I feel like with the serve, it takes so much precision and just knowing where and when and how you're going to hit it. A good contact point, good knee bend. There's so many working parts that need to work to hit a good serve. That's what makes the serve such a difficult stroke. And tennis in general. So I don't want this to be one of those stories that goes on and on, because those get super boring. But I will say that one coach did cancel my official visit, and that was terrifying. Because knowing that one coach did that meant that maybe other coaches were thinking it. And she didn't say that, you know, it was, oh, because you showed a huge weakness. But it was just cancel. And kind of knowing why she canceled it just really scared me. And it created more anxiety. But it was important for me to realize that she wasn't the school for me. She wasn't the coach for the school that I should be attending. I needed a coach that knew how they were going to make my game better. They need to trust that I wouldn't have gotten to where I am without so much other strength in my game, without my fighting spirit, my huge forehand inside out, my huge backhand down the line, my great transition to the net. Volleying, putting those volleys away, my speed. There were so many great parts of my game. And even though this one part kind of was triggered when I got nervous, she should have realized that that's not the norm. This is just a huge part of my anxiety. But, you know, I like to think about it now, looking back, her loss, that wasn't the right place for me. There were so many other amazing coaches that saw the positive parts of my game. And that goes straight to UVA. Mark and Troy, when I got off the court, you know, they recognized that I have a little bit of a mental block towards my serve. But they said they saw a competitor out there. They saw a fighter that was able to put, you know, the bad moments aside and focus on the great parts of her game. They said that was the kind of competitor they wanted to see fighting for a match when the match was at 3-all in college, fighting to bring Virginia over that hump to win the match. When they said that, it really made me feel like they saw the positive parts of my game. They really appreciated the hard work that I had put in. So if you're a college coach or a coach in general, please, of course, it's important to work on the game parts of your game that struggle, but it's equally important to reinforce and sharpen your weapon. That's what Mark and Troy did for me. They made sure my forehand inside out, my backhand down the line, my transition to the net just felt fuego. For people that don't know what that means, it means hot in Spanish. But they wanted me to come into every match feeling confidence in my strengths. And of course, worked on my weaknesses, worked on the parts that broke down. Because again, my serve was great in practice. but it was just in the heat of the pressure moments that it broke down a little bit. So it's really important to just work on all parts of your game, but equally important to work on your strengths. Now, you're probably wondering how I became the successful collegiate athlete that I was with this weakness in my game. And it was because I decided with my college coaches that I wanted to develop a kick second serve. Now, before that, I had a slice. A kick serve has high margin over the net. It usually can land deeper in the box and it jumps up. So it makes it very difficult for your opponent to attack. It's out of their strike zone and it's higher percentage. A slice second serve is also effective, but lower percentage. It's way lower over the net. It can jam your opponents in the body. I think it's best to have both serves because if it's windy, if you're serving against the wind, that kick serve will just fizzle out and look like a poof. When you're against the wind, you definitely want to slice the serve, because then it's definitely more effective. So the full and complete tennis player has both serves in their skill set. For me, I only had one, and that broke down in pressure. To have that kick serve, guys, it changed my life. It was so reliable. It was effective. It took the strike zone out of my opponents. It set me up to hit my forehand inside outs. A lot of the times, you have to develop your serve in a way that will complement the rest of your game. So for me, I wanted that inside out forehand or backhand down the line pretty quickly after my serve. A lot of becoming a great player is identifying your game and what your strengths and weaknesses are. And you have to develop your game around those. So that's what I did. And by getting that kick serve, I was able to find my forehand inside out. And within a month of entering college, I made it to the finals of All-Americans in California from starting in pre-qualifying, winning three rounds, going through qualifying, winning three rounds, winning four rounds in the main draw, which was defeating about three top 10 opponents in college tennis to get there, to finally losing in the finals in three sets after winning that first set. So I was a set away from winning All-Americans from pre-qualifying. Let's just say my body definitely took a toll. But I was so proud. My college coaches enforced the strengths in my game. And I didn't even have a kick serve at that time. It was only a month into college tennis, but they just made me feel so confident about the good parts of my game. And it was just so rewarding. Fast forwarding a little bit, well, a lot actually, to senior year. There's an award called the Sissy Leary Award for Sportsmanship and Courage. I wrote a letter discussing my anxieties and the recruitment process and how I had to deal with it and how stressed I was, how much anxiety it brought. And when I wrote this out, guys, it made me feel like a load was lifted. I felt so strong. And even talking to you guys on this podcast right now, telling you my story, it feels strong. I was never able to talk about it in the open before quarantine especially, but I feel like now with this time, I was able to reflect and realize that tennis is just such a small part of life. It's a game that I adore, but it's not everything. You know, we're about 13,000 people away from losing 100,000 people in the United States from coronavirus. I can definitely talk about some of the anxieties I dealt with in tennis. Oh, come on, of course I can. I wrote this letter for the sake of just writing down my thoughts and feelings and emotions and opening up about what I dealt with earlier in my life. I didn't look for an award. I wasn't worried about, you know, if I could win that national award. I was worried about how people would perceive it as they read it. That was my biggest concern. However, I learned that only about two or three people, the committee, would be reading it. So that made me feel better. But I ended up winning the Atlantic Coast part of the award. And then I ended up winning the national award. We were at the banquet at NCAA's my senior year, and I was given the award, the Sissy Leary Award for Sportsmanship and Courage. This award showed me that I was strong. It made me feel like I wasn't just some crazy person thinking that I had an anxiety and that I should toughen up. It showed me that what I dealt with was real and that it was okay. And other people that were reading my letter realized that it was hard what I went through, but it was okay. And that's the biggest thing, realizing that it's okay. We deal with weak moments. It's just trying to realize, for me, it was all about labeling it as anxiety, labeling it that it's a thought in my head, it's not reality, and then trying to find skills to cope. Now, I love my second serve. I love serving. And of course, we all have hiccups from time to time, especially in the girls' game. I feel like girls get a little tighter on the serve at times, but double faulting is okay. It's not the end of the world. There's so many other parts of your game that are important. And I'm just so proud that I was able to come through. And I'm so proud now that I was able to share my story with you. And I hope this encourages you guys to open up with your fears, emotions, anxieties, because it's real. And the more you talk about it, the more you can find solutions and ways to make your game a little bit better. All right, well, that, my people, that was my story. That is my mental health awareness story, something I've dealt with, a big part of my life, but a big reason I am the tennis player I am today. Now, I want to say that obviously I dealt with a lot of problems with my serve, but I also have had so much success despite it. And the reason why I'm saying that, like outright like that, is because I want to show you guys that having an insecurity in your game or anxiety in your thoughts does not stop you from excelling. The last thing you want to do is stop. You want to push through, shove the anxiety to the side, and show it that you're better than it. And that's what I did, guys. It's all about pushing through. And when you think that someone's judging you, they're really not. They're just watching you and observing you. Picture them with a freaking pair of underwear on their head, honestly, because their opinions don't matter. It's what you're doing if you feel good about yourself, because that's what matters at the end of the day. Anyway, guys, next episode, I'm going to be diving into some of your anxieties. I'm so happy with how many people responded on Instagram with some of the things they deal with. And I cannot wait to anonymously bring them up and talk about them with my unprofessional advice. So yeah, thanks for listening in, guys. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules L. Baba. And I will see you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle. And also, one last thing, I set up an email, julesonthehustle@gmail.com. Please share your stories, your anxieties, and I would love to talk about them on my podcast, help you guys out. Of course, anonymously, I will not bring up any names. So do not worry about that. Bye.